Welcome to the Multidisciplinary ONC Work Group Conference Call. My name is Eric, and I will be your operator for today's call. At this time, all participants are in a listen-only mode. Later, we will conduct a question-and-answer session. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I will now turn the call over to Krishna Dholepa. You may begin.
Thank you, Eric. Good afternoon, everyone. So we are waiting on a few participants to join the call, and we'll get started momentarily. In the interim, I have a few housekeeping items. So please sign into the WebEx using your name and affiliation, or record your name on the conference line after the prompt. If you are not signing in on the WebEx, or you did not record your name on the conference line, please email Catherine Donaldson to let us know that you are on the phone. Okay? Given the large number of individuals that we have on the call today, we will be muting all lines during the presentation. You may use the chat function on the WebEx to submit questions throughout the presentation. When using the chat function, please send your questions to the host and presenter, Catherine Donaldson. Okay? After the presentation, we will have a question and answer period. We will answer all of the questions that we've received via the chat, or at least attempt to, and then we'll open up the link, open up the lines to get any additional questions from meeting participants. Okay? Finally, if you are not signed into the WebEx, you may email any questions you have to Catherine Donaldson. So welcome everyone to the first multi-stakeholder meeting for the Patient-Centered Outcome Research, Privacy and Security Research Scenario Initiative, and Legal Analysis and Ethics Framework Development Project. To begin with, I'd like to introduce the NORC team for this ONC-sponsored project. My name is Priscilla Dulal. I'm a health services researcher and physician informaticist. I direct a program area in health informatics at NORC at the University of Chicago. I will be serving as overall lead for the NORC team for this project. So now we are going to quickly go around and you will get to know other members of the NORC team. Jane, I'm going to hand it over to you to introduce yourself and other members of the GW team. Jane?
Thank you so much, Priscilla. This is Jane Hyatt-Thorpe. I'm a professor here at the George Washington University, and along with my team, we do extensive amount of work related to health information exchange and technology.
I'm Laura Cartwright-Smith, also here at the GW Department of Health Policy and Management, and I work with Jane on health information-related work.
I'm Elizabeth Gray. I'm a research scientist here at the department with Laura and Jane.
And we're also joined on the line by our colleague, Risa Castillo, who also works with us on these projects. Priscilla, I'll turn it back to you.
Excellent, thanks. Daniela, will you go ahead and introduce yourself, please?
I'm Daniela Meeker. I'm an assistant professor at University of Southern California, and I direct the clinical informatics program for the CTSA here. And I also have an extensive background in informatics and health IT policy.
Thanks, Daniela. Ioana?
Hi, my name is Ioana Singorano. I'm a software engineer and an information modeling support person here on this project, and my background is in standards-based interoperability.
Excellent. Thank you. So that's from the NORC team. We are also supported on the project by other research support staff. And you will get to know all of them as we work with you all as part of this multi-stakeholder process. I wanted to now hand it over to the team at ONC to introduce yourself, Helen and Debbie. I'm handing it over to you.
Hello. Thank you, Priscilla. This is Helen Caton-Peters. I am a nurse informaticist and senior policy advisor with the Office of the Chief Privacy Officer at ONC. I am also the lead for this patient-centered outcomes project. I want to say thank you on behalf of ONC to all of you for agreeing to participate today in this multi-stakeholder initiative, and as we move forward over the next few months to develop our use case scenarios. With me from ONC, I do have Davey on the line. Davey, would you like to introduce yourself, please?
Sure. Hi, this is Davey Mehta. I am a privacy policy analyst at ONC. I'm an attorney by trade. I've done some work on state privacy laws and health information exchange use and disclosure. I am going to be working with Helen on as a co-lead on the legal and ethical framework development. Thank you.
Thank you very much. So, you know, we have actually a pretty large number of participants on the call, so we are not going to be calling upon everyone on the call to introduce yourself. I'm going to quickly go through a roll call for everyone that we think we have on the call, okay? If I miss your name or I don't, you know, explicitly call you out, please email Catherine Donaldson, and we will make sure that we include you in the list of attendees for this meeting, okay? So I'm just going to sort of read down the list. Also joining us on the stakeholder side, we have Elise Berliner from the Agency for Healthcare Research and Quality, Jonathan Coleman from the Office of the National Coordinator for Health IT. We have Leslie Francis from the University of Utah. We have Bob Gelman, a privacy and information policy consultant. We have Marissa Gordon Nguyen from the Office of Civil Rights. We have Kevin Haynes from HealthCore, Inc. We have Lisa Lee from the Department of Health and Human Services. We have Catherine Nashasini from the Office of the National Coordinator for Health IT. We have Lucia Savage from the Office of the National Coordinator for Health IT. We have John Luca from GE Healthcare. We have Kurt Mueller from the Health Resources and Services Administration. We have Allison Ryan from Academy Health. We have David Butterworth from the CDC. We have Betty Tai from the National Institute on Drug Abuse. We have Paul Terry from PHEMI Health Systems, Inc. We have Darren Tor from Harvard Pilgrim Healthcare Institute. We have Tiffany Renaud from the University of Michigan. We have John Wilbanks from Sage Bio Networks. We have Adam Green from Davis Wright Tremaine. We also have Dennis McCarthy from the Oregon Health and Science University, Michelle Murray from ONC, Ray Patrick Lake from the Duke Translational Medicine Institute. Okay. We have Alexa Lemierez, and we have Carmen Rosa from the CDC as well. So again, if I missed your name, please send an email to Catherine Donaldson, and we will make sure that we include you in the participant list. Okay. So for the call today, I'm going to provide some background and context for this ONC-sponsored project. You know, we plan to give you an overview of the project, discuss the different phases of the project, and how they relate to each other, and we'll also share a high-level timeline with you all. We will then spend some time discussing the process we plan to use with you as a multi-stakeholder group in developing the research daily use scenarios, the scope and focus of these scenarios, and what we hope to accomplish by the end of the process. We will wrap up the discussion on how we plan to engage with the multi-stakeholder group, and we will discuss next steps. So central to this project is the concept of a learning health system. Taken from the learning health community's preamble, a learning healthcare system will improve the health of individuals and populations. The learning health system will accomplish this by generating information and knowledge from data captured and updated over time. With the significant investments in health IT and infrastructure, we are getting to the point where there are numerous sources of data that can be leveraged for patient-centered outcome research and comparative effectiveness research. In addition to clinical administrative data, we have other rich sources of data, which include, for example, patient-generated health data, data from wearables, sensors, medical devices, genomic data, and behavioral health data. And this is just to name a few. Sharing this data across the healthcare system and making it available for different purposes, including PCOR, is a major federal priority, as articulated in ONC's 2014 report on its 10-year vision and in the interoperability roadmap. While the data and the sharing of it contributes to PCOR and the learning health system, it raises privacy-related concerns. Within this project, we will seek to identify what are the major requirements for the use of data for PCOR and CER. ONC, in its 10-year vision to achieve interoperable health IT, also articulates a framework of how electronic clinical data can be leveraged at different points in a learning health system. So you will see that this includes a spectrum of activities, including quality measures, public health, and clinical research. Given sort of the time that we have, the activities under this project will not cover all of the aspects of a learning health system. So the purposes of sharing this slide is to provide a broad framing of what is encompassed under a learning health system and then use it as a jumping off point for the focus of our project. So we will now discuss in more detail the PICO Privacy and Security Research Scenario Initiative, which is part of phase one of this project, and the development of the legal analysis and ethics framework, which is phase two of the project. So please note that the focus of today's call is really around phase one. Okay. So just some brief context, this project commenced in October 1st, 2015, so it's been underway for about 8 weeks. The project is part of the largest set of PICO-funded projects at ONC. The EVA companion ONC-funded project to this one, where the focus is on the development of our technical standards around e-consent. For this project, one of the central questions that we plan to address is how health information derived from a wide variety of sources can be used for PICO and CER, consistent with the principles of bioethics, in legal and regulatory requirements, stabilization consent, privacy, and autonomy. So there are two sort of distinct phases to the project. In phase one, we will identify 15 to 20 priority research data use scenarios in intensive collaboration with a multi-stakeholder group, which includes PICO researchers, patients and patient representatives, providers, health IT technologists, and legal experts. Once the scenarios have been identified, we will be working with this group to disclose the key requirements for each of these scenarios. The focus will be on the policy, ethical, and legal requirements, and we will expand on this a little later in the presentation. Phase one will serve as an important input to the legal and ethical framework that will be developed as part of phase two of this project. Okay. And so the phase two of this project will be led by a team of lawyers and ethicists from George Washington University, and you'll be hearing from them on the call today as well. In phase two, which will be a complementary process to phase one, we'll focus on two major areas. We will assess the legal, regulatory, and ethics framework in which health information may be used for PICO and CER, and in addition, we will use the requirements developed from the research data use scenarios to inform the development of a legal and ethical framework for protecting patient privacy during the conduct of PICO and CER. So a little more on phase one. Phase one has sort of three distinct parts, if you will. So we plan to recruit and engage PICO stakeholders for a multidisciplinary work group, which includes researchers, patients, providers, health IT technologists, and legal experts. We've just completed our initial recruitment efforts and, you know, have been very impressed with the interest and enthusiasm, you know, from all of you, many of whom are participating on the call today. Over the next couple of months, we will be working with this group intensely to develop these 15 to 20 research data use scenarios. Shortly, we'll discuss the scope of these scenarios and some proposed scenarios to jumpstart the deliberations of this group. The requirements identified for the scenarios will then be represented in several use case documents that you will have an opportunity to review and provide feedback on. And I'll say that we see this involvement of the multi-stakeholder group as critical to ensuring that we've identified the right priorities and captured the key requirements related to each of these scenarios. Also, as part of phase one of the project, we will produce a report describing the selected scenarios, the rationale for their selection, cross-cutting and unique requirements relevant to the PICO ethical and legal framework that will be developed in phase two, and any overall lessons learned. So that sort of concludes, you know, the general sort of overview of phase one. Jane, I'm going to hand it over to you. The GW team is leading the development of the ethical framework in phase two of the project. So handing it over to you now to provide a brief overview of phase two.
Thank you, Priscilla. This is Jane from the GW team. And as Priscilla has noted, we will be also undertaking a multi
step process that will ultimately culminate in the development of a legal framework as well as an enterprise architecture that's related to patient-centered outcomes research. We will be actively participating in the Phase 1 activities so that we can learn from the data use research scenarios that are developed and also be thinking through those as we think about how the various privacy and security legal requirements apply to those scenarios in particular. More specifically, as you'll see on the slide before you, we're going to take an incremental approach to the work during Phase 2. We're going to start by identifying and defining the various data types. This includes both sources of data, types of data, and thinking about the existing data flows that are involved particularly in patient-centered outcomes research as well as comparative effectiveness research. So as Priscilla noted earlier, this could be information from claims data, from clinical records, patient-generated or captured information. We will be surveying all those various types and thinking about how they relate to each other and then also, again, how the legal and ethical requirements apply to those as well. As noted in the next bullet, we will then take those data types and apply the actual legal requirements as well as ethical principles to those data types and also the flows of data that are involved in those activities. And then we're actually going to create a map linking the various requirements and principles to those various data types that are related to PCOR and identify any gaps or applicable along the way. And finally, this work will actually culminate in an overarching legal framework that addresses both the privacy and security requirements as it relates to those data types that are relevant for PCOR and comparative effectiveness research, as well as important ethical principles as well. And finally, we will produce a privacy and security conceptual enterprise architecture that also will be relevant to and guide patient-centered outcomes research. Priscilla, I'll turn it back to you.
Thank you, Jane. So very briefly, we have a high-level timeline of the two phases of the project. So the research data use scenarios will be developed through a collaboration with the SMART Eye stakeholder group, and we're having the kickoff meeting today. Shortly after this kickoff meeting, we will be initiating 12 bi-weekly workgroup calls. And then during an intensive four-month process, we will work with you to develop these scenarios and the associated use cases. We hope to complete these activities by late March 2016. You know, we do anticipate that there may be some finalization work that we need to conduct in April of 2016, but this should give you a rough sense of the overall timeline. And then, you know, around the August timeframe, the scenarios will be circulated for comment with the larger research community, and we will finalize them in the last quarter of 2016. And then phase two of the project will begin in the first quarter of 2016. So I'm going to now hand over this presentation to Joanna and Daniela. Joanna will discuss our process for developing the research data use scenarios, and then Daniela will spend some time discussing some of the proposed areas for the development of these scenarios and then relevant questions that we hope to address through this process. So Joanna, I'm handing it over to you.
Thank you. Thank you, Priscilla. So we were looking at leveraging the best practices from the SNI initiative process used in the past, and we decided to settle on a process that leverages the multi-stakeholder engagement to agree on the project charter. So that will describe the entire landscape of possible data research use scenarios. And we will finalize that project charter that will give us the boundaries of our use case analysis. The intended inputs into this use case analysis would be a series of proposed scenarios from our team and from stakeholders, and as well as an understanding of existing policy and legal frameworks. So through this process, which we will elaborate on a future call, we hope to identify those scenarios that together relate to a single use case. So while Priscilla discussed 15 to 20 scenarios and perhaps anywhere in between that number, we expect that those scenarios would be boiled down to several use cases that would embody the requirements that are should be the focus of the follow-up work. So the next step with the process will be to define the legal requirements and ethical principles based on the current research data use scenarios and use cases. And that series of requirements would feed into the next phase of the project. So that is really at the high level the process, and we just hope to leverage the best parts of what we know works well in engaging with a distributed community. So the goals of the multi-stakeholder process, as you can see here, would be to identify research needs and to ensure and the data use scenarios are representative of industry-wide needs. And I think, Danielle, I can elaborate more on the slide. Basically, from a facilitated discussion standpoint, we are trying to understand how users and systems interact and identify the data sharing between the systems as well as interactions and requirements. Where applicable, there will be some federal and private sector work that would help us in develop the scenarios. And we will look at various other tasks and activities that would support the Peace Corps community.
Okay. I think I can take this if can you guys hear me?
Sure, we can hear you, Danielle. Yeah.
Great, thanks.
Okay.
Great. So the slide covers the scope of the research data use scenarios and the things that are in and not in the scope because we know that we can extend, especially in large groups, extend into a lot of different ideas. So the intent is to identify the policy, legal, and ethical components and the requirements to support data use in Peace Corps while protecting patient privacy. So this is different, important to sort of notice that this is different from the scope of data use in delivery. Peace Corps is, as Priscilla so nicely introduced, something that is devoted to understanding the patient-centered outcomes research, so not only data exchange for delivery purposes. And our intent is to focus on identifying patient-centered cases and the necessary policies and requirements to enable data use in research. Importantly, looking at the gaps and needs in the current state, and to identify instances where the technical components intersect the policy requirements. So not in scope is identifying and developing technical solutions. Any kind of methods that are devoted to that are out of scope for this particular phase and in this initiative. Thank you. So we put together a few examples. I think that this group will help us refine these and extend them and make sure that we are able to cover all of the different types of requirements that might be generated from different scenarios. So these examples could be using collections of data that would be applied for multiple purposes or reused multiple times, merging large data sets for research purposes, such as electronic medical record data and claims data sets with patient-generated data. Precision medicine, and I think a lot of us have been fairly excited about the PMI initiative and all of the different opportunities that presents and the cohorts that might be engaged in that project. Research performed across multiple entities and institutions. So how do we collaborate using the data that might be generated on single patients across multiple institutions or on multiple patients across those organizations? How we work with laboratory and biospecimen data for research purposes, and how we work with patient generated data. And also understanding some of the community and familial implications of research data collection. So examples come into play around patient privacy and family privacy and genetic data use. Can you advance the slide? Okay, sorry. So these are the kinds of questions that we hope to be working on. So first, identifiability. So, you know, is these different characteristics of data that come into policy, such as limited data sets, fully de-identified data, and identifiable data with a PII in it, the different kinds of data, so genomic data, clinical, sensitive information, sensitive data elements, like mental health substance use, information, and what kinds of sources are, and the ownership associated with those sources are things that we would be considering in the scope of this, and how we're handling the data. So there's obviously a number of regulatory requirements around handling, storing clinical data, how we transmit it, and how we're collecting it, and what the security of those devices are. Thank you. And so working on these questions of the purpose for use, and when there's overlap and intersections between them, as the learning health system may lead us more and more down the path of having research results be used directly in the course of clinical care. And there's a public health uses and quality improvement uses where we sort of see some of the boundaries being blurred between research and delivery. What other uses include the scope of consent? So with how patients are consented or P-Corps participants are consented, and how granular that information might be. Again, who the data users are, and what their roles are in the scope of data use. So we have, you know, collectors and users and the various locations surrounding those items. And the kind of things that we'd like to hear from you are these kinds of scenarios, but also other issues that have come up in your experience as stakeholders in P-Corps process.
Okay. You want to talk a little bit about the project collaboration space that we are setting up?
Sure. So one of the main opportunities for us to reach out to the community at large and to the members of this multi-stakeholder work group is through a collaborative web presence. So we are in the process of setting up this web portal that will allow you to look up the latest artifacts, contribute review comments, and engage with the project team in various ways, including, catching up as necessary if you have to disengage for a while from the process. So the content will be administered by the project team, but the stakeholders will have access to the latest content. And we are also hoping to leverage this web portal to reach out to a larger community at the proper time during the process when we have a nearly finalized draft documents. So we will have the ability to share a URL to the website, and we will populate the relevant pages with useful content. And we hope that this will become a useful resource for you, where we can conduct discussions, where you can see the latest and greatest documents and artifacts, and you're able to engage in a convenient way.
Thanks, Joanna. So, you know, as Joanna pointed out, we're just in the process of setting up a sample webpage, and we will have this ready by the time we have our next meeting in a couple of weeks' time. Okay? So, moving along. So we hope this sort of provides, you know, a high-level overview of the project, the goals, the scope, the activities, and you know, gives you some sense of sort of the process that we will use. I'm just going to spend a little bit of time talking about next steps now. So in terms of stakeholder levels of commitment, I've already had the opportunity and other members of the project team to have one-on-one calls with a number of the folks that are participating in the meeting today. And we fully recognize that there are a lot of commitments on your time. And I guess I want to stress that, you know, we welcome your participation in, you know, any way in which you can contribute. We've reached out to you because of sort of the deep expertise that you have in different areas, and we will do our best to facilitate sort of your engagement in this process depending on the time that you have available. Okay? So we anticipate that there will be sort of a smaller group of individuals that may be able to participate in sort of most of these working group meetings. And these will form sort of a group of sort of what we call committed contributors, okay? We also anticipate that there may be a subset of you that are interested and that would like to contribute, but see more feasible that you will join some of the calls and then review project-specific documents and provide feedback, you know, to the NORC team as appropriate. And then, you know, we also anticipate that there may be some of you, you know, again, who want to make sure that, you know, we're moving in the right direction, and at strategic points, we'll weigh in on materials posted on the collaboration website. But, you know, I'd sort of maybe no explicit formal commitment, if you will, to, you know, to the initiative. And so we welcome all of your participation. In a subsequent, in our next meeting, we will discuss in a whole lot more detail how we will get information shared with you, how we will communicate with you, and how you can sort of engage with us as part of this process. And then coming out of this meeting, we will be reaching out to you via email and, you know, just to sort of get a sense from you on the kind of level of commitment you think you can make, okay? While we recognize that this is not cast in stone, you could at least give us a sense of what to expect, you know, as we move forward with this process. Okay? So in addition to sort of determining the level of commitment that you all can make, we are also in the process of confirming sort of the meeting schedule. We are planning to have one more meeting in December, given, you know, sort of all the holidays and things like that. And this is scheduled for December 16th at 1 p.m. Eastern. And then we're going to have a meeting in early January. We are in the process of developing a schedule for the upcoming meetings, and we'll share that at the next meeting on December 16th. So I also recognize, and the team recognizes, that, you know, again, this may not work for everyone, but, you know, we're hoping as we schedule the meetings out that, you know, more individuals will be able to participate. Another thing that we are sort of in the process of working on and will be discussing in a lot of detail with you on the next call is to review and define the project charter. And as Daniela sort of mentioned, you know, while we have some started areas for the research data use scenarios, we will be asking for more inputs on, you know, do we have sort of the right starter set? You know, are there other areas that we need to consider, and then get into, you know, more specificity around that. Okay. Sort of in terms of key context for the project, you know, all of the members that you see here have introduced themselves, and you can certainly email any one of us with any questions that you have regarding the project. Okay. All right, so we are going to move now into sort of the Q&A section of the call, okay? So you're going to have to bear with us for a minute. We have received a number of questions via the chat function, so we're going to be pulling up those questions, and I'm going to start, queuing the team to respond to the questions on the, you know, that came in via the chat. And then we will unmute all the lines, so that you can ask a question, you know, if we haven't picked up anything via the chat, okay? I will ask that when we unmute the lines, you know, to ensure that there isn't any sort of interference, that, you know, you keep your phone on mute and you raise your hand so that, you know, we can call upon you to ask your question, okay? All right, so I guess I'm going to sort of get us started. So I think one of the questions that we received was, you know, around sort of the scope of data that we would include as part of this process. And I think the explicit question was, would health information survey data be included as part of the data types that we consider? And, you know, the short answer is, you know, definitely health survey data would be included as part of this process. Okay. So I want to ask the operator, can we unmute all of the lines on the phone as well so that individuals can start asking questions? One process question, we will be posting the slides from today's meeting as well as a meeting summary on the collaboration website, okay? And that will become available to you by the December 16th timeframe. We will also be developing a set of FAQs because there have been questions that, you know, that have emerged in sort of the one-on-one calls that have been, you know, that indicate there's some sort of common areas that we certainly need to clear up with, you know, with the multi-stakeholder group. Eric, have you unmuted the line?
At this point, all lines will be open. To mute and unmute your line, you can press star 6 or use mute on your phone.
Okay, great. Okay, so again, just to let participants know, if you want to ask a question, you can submit a question using the chat function. You'll see sort of this chat bubble on the upper right-hand corner, or you can simply raise your hand and let me know that you have a question. And do you see any questions coming through? I don't actually see any questions coming through right now, or anyone raising their hands for that matter.
Priscilla, this is Helen with ONC. I thought maybe it would be helpful if we could just share a little bit of next steps for the group in terms of, you know, what they can anticipate from a timing perspective with receiving information about the wiki space, the project space, and some of the materials. Could you share your thoughts around that?
Okay, sure. So the wiki space is currently under development. We will have that ready by the next meeting of this group by December 16th, okay? On the project wiki space, we will, have available sort of the key context. We will have worked out sort of the meeting schedule, so there'll be some predictability in when this group will be coming together. We have also developed a draft project charter, which we see as a very important discussion item at sort of the next kickoff meeting, at the next stakeholder meeting. So we will be discussing the project charter with you all, and then we will also get into more specifics around sort of what we call the rules of engagement. So, you know, how we will communicate with you and, how we sort of would be hoping to gather your feedback. Related to that conversation, I think we are looking for feedback from the multi-stakeholder group on what might be most, you know, convenient for you, given, you know, everything else that you're sort of managing as well. So just sort of in terms of immediate next steps, you know, those are the key areas. Okay. All right. So I have a question from Elise Bellina. Danielle, I'm going to pose this question to both you and Jane Thorpe, okay? Because I think there's sort of this intersection between, you know, what we're thinking about here. So we mentioned sort of data ownership briefly, but can you talk more about how data ownership will be considered in this project, okay? Related to that, Elise makes the comment that, you know, also quality of the proposed PICO studies, for example, data owners may want to ensure that analysis will meet quality standards before releasing data. So I think sort of the key question on the table that I'm asking both Jane and Daniela to respond to is around data ownership and how we will sort of embrace the concepts of data ownership around this project. Daniela, Jane, would you like to take that?
Sure, I can take a stab before Jane weighs in on with her expertise. There are, as you know, a number of different issues in current regulations as well as ethical considerations around how we consider data ownership, whether it's from the standpoint of the delivery system or from vendors of products that might be using and collecting data. So, you know, patient-generated data is often collected on devices that are proprietary things like Fitbits, and they tend to have agreements where the vendors own the data. Those are kinds of issues that I think that we would like to explore. Anything else that you guys come up with would be very helpful so that we have an inclusive inventory and a comprehensive inventory of all of those kinds of issues and scenarios.
Thanks, Danielle. And this is Jane, just to weigh in terms of the concept of data ownership in particular. When we're thinking about the legal framework, including privacy and security requirements that apply to the various data types that we identify, and that, of course, part of the hopefully vibrant discussion we have with the stakeholder group through phase one, we will be thinking about those very issues in terms of how is the data collected, who owns the data, what are any consent or authorization requirements that may or may not apply, how may the data be used and by whom and for what purposes. So we very much view the legal framework in particular, as well as the ethical component of that, to be addressing those very issues, and hopefully will enable us to actually, when we talk about mapping out those requirements, thinking about, you know, when the data comes in, where is it coming from, who is it coming from, for what purpose was it collected, how is it intended to be used, and what consent, authorization, ownership, etc. Requirements apply or don't apply to that flow of data, again, ultimately to support patient-centered outcomes research.
Thanks, Jane. So I have Lisa Lee has raised her hand to ask a question. Lisa, go ahead and ask your question. Lisa, are you able to unmute and ask your question? We're not hearing you on the phone. Okay. All right, so while we work through that, we actually did get another question via the chat. And this is from Rebecca Roper. And basically what the focus around this question is, so can we discuss if the use cases are designed to address a wide variety of patients and caregivers? Some patient cases, for example, pediatric use cases are less of a focus. So Daniela, I'm going to ask you to weigh in, but, you know, certainly from sort of, you know, our vantage, I think the idea is that we will work with a multi-stakeholder group and help, you know, and they will sort of help us distill where sort of the priority focus areas should be. We obviously want to give everyone sort of an equal voice in terms of helping us distill those. So certainly from our vantage, you know, there may be pediatric use cases if the community decides that there's, you know, definitely an interest in looking at that. So definitely, you know, part of the scope here. Kenya, did you want to comment any more on that?
Yeah, I would just say that we should be starting from a very inclusive perspective, and it may be that things narrow down over time, but my instinct is that we would prefer to start with the most inclusive scenarios that we could, so that we are sort of cover all of the possible bases for the requirements.
And this is Ioana. I just wanted to add to that, that part of the challenge for the process is to make sure it's inclusive. So the objective is to make sure everyone feels heard and their concerns and requirements have a chance to be considered. So the idea is to bring forth all those requirements and present them and introduce them to the rest of the community, because others may decide they're worthwhile even if they have not considered them before.
Great, thank you. So there's a few more questions that are popping up here. So this one question is sort of, you know, around some of the other work that's going on. So how does this work overlap with, the work that PCORI and PCORNET, specifically the PCORNET demonstration projects, are doing as use cases that are currently proposed? Daniela, I know you're very closely related to sort of the PCORNET and PCORI work. Do you want to comment on that?
Sure. I mean, I think that PCORNET has already generated a number of scenarios in the short time that it's been going, and I certainly think that we should continue to take learning from those examples. Kevin, I think that you actually inspired some of the example scenarios that we presented here around how we might link data together from different organizations and different sources as part of what we've been doing with the PCORNET Mini Sentinel Working Group and the work that you've been leading.
So I think, Daniela, what you sort of making the case for is, you know, as part of, you know, bringing this group together as well as of the expertise on the team, the plan is to sort of leverage what others have been doing and not to sort of replicate any of that work. You know, and it's helpful that there are participants here that, you know, are sort of engaging with PCORI and PCORNET as well. So there are a few other questions that are coming through as well. So, Joanna, I want to sort of, I want to pass this one to you, okay? So, you know, the question is that, you know, part of the goal of phase one is to come up with these, you know, to come up with a set of use cases, okay? But, you know, what we've presented right now are sort of, you know, rather potential data sources and, you know, potential sort of unconstrained use, okay? So can we talk a little bit more about sort of how, you know, we plan to go, if you will, from, you know, the data use scenario to sort of the use cases? John, I hope that sort of addresses where you're going with your question, but, you know, if there's more specificity required, we are happy to get into it. Joanna, you want to comment on that?
Sure. So part of, you know, in the process of identifying data sources and purposes, the purpose of the data and the way the data is reused is to identify specific scenarios. So sometimes scenarios can be related to a single underlying requirement, and that's how we organize several scenarios in a single use case. So there may be different perspectives on a certain use case depending on your point of view. And some use cases, let's say a pediatric use case, may not require any additional underlying support than another use case. And in other cases, there may be something specific to pediatrics that needs to be addressed in terms of preconditions or data requirements or privacy requirements. So the challenge for us on the support team is to take what we hear as scenarios and turn those into a set of consistent use cases that are perhaps addressing some of the duplication that may be occurring across scenarios. And we can use a variety of communication tools to make sure we understood and incorporated the correct requirements into our analysis. So we may look at things from a point of view of a workflow that has to be accomplished to meet specific business goals. We may look at this, you know, in terms of systems or types of data that have to be incorporated or collected or combined to get a specific outcome. So it's going to be a process of gathering requirements, analyzing requirements, and then we will present the analysis back to you to validate it and make sure everyone is on the same page. What we find oftentimes is when we get a diverse set of stakeholders around the table is that everyone has a different perspective, may use a different term to refer to a certain entity or item or data element. So this discussion will lead to a consistency and a confluence of requirements that we can represent as use cases.
Thank you, Anna. So Jane, I have another question that I'm going to sort of pose toward, you know, sort of you, because I think it's very central to the work that GW is doing. So this question is from Lisa Lee. There are many ethical issues in this endeavor, you know, in addition to privacy. Are we focusing on a privacy framework or a wider ethical framework as well? Jane?
Thanks, Priscilla. This is Jane, and I think that's a really good question. We're actually going to be looking at the legal implications from a privacy and security perspective, but we will also be thinking about and working through relevant ethical considerations as well, and I think the goal is that the ultimate framework will address both legal requirements as well as ethical principles. In some cases, you know, those will be aligned, and in other cases, there may be distinctions that we need to draw, but we will be considering, I think, the depth and breadth across the spectrum with legal and ethical issues.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Excellent. Thank you. So again, I'm going to encourage folks to send any additional questions that you have, you know, via the chat, or if you raise your hand, you know, we can certainly ask you to pose your question to the presenters here. At this time, I don't have any additional questions from participants. I think all the phones are muted. Is there anyone who wants to pose a question to the presenters on the call?
Hi,
At this time, all phone lines are unmuted.
Okay. Thanks. I think Stephanie Vanneau has a question. Stephanie, can you unmute yourself and go ahead? Stephanie, can you, I'm not sure if you are able to hear us, but please go ahead and ask your question. Eric, all the lines are unmuted, right?
Yes, all the lines are unmuted.
Okay. Stephanie, if you can't ask a question on the phone, do you want to send us an email? Or you can just ask your question via the chat. Okay. Is there anyone else that has any questions? Leslie, I think you also sent a question via email. Do you want to go ahead and ask your question on the phone? Leslie Francis. Okay, so operator, it seems that folks are indicating that they are not unmuted and that they cannot ask their questions. So can you just confirm that you've unmuted all the lines?
All lines are unmuted.
Okay, John, can you go ahead? I think you had a question. Yeah, I think there seems to be there seems to be a technical issue with the unmuting of the lines, unfortunately, so we apologize for that. So I want to encourage folks, you know.
Star 7 to unmute?
Yeah, John, is that you?
Can you hear me?
Yes, we can hear you just fine.
Oh,
go ahead.
Okay. So something finally broke loose. so first, I just wanted to make sure that you know, we weren't all still muted. So going back to the question I had around use case, and I was looking at page 16, as, you know, examples of possible use cases, and it just didn't seem to me that those were anywhere near detailed enough of use cases to do an actual privacy impact assessment against. I certainly think they are definitely, you know, a list of data sources and a list of generally, you know, some areas, like precision medicine is an area. So what I was asking was, in the list of 12 to 15 or 15 to 20, I forget what the number was, use cases, are we going to be going to very specific use case description where we describe the actors involved in the use case, what they will be allowed to do, the minimal data set that they need to get at? Is that kind of our phase one target?
So that's a very good question, John. Joanna, you want to handle that?
First, I just want to clarify, those are not elaborated use cases, John. Those are just examples of scenarios or areas that we would explore further. So you're absolutely correct. We're nowhere near being able to do a security impact analysis at this time. So we're just in the very early stages of identifying scenarios that those scenarios will then be analyzed to identify the use cases such that we can organize common requirements. And actually, perhaps only after the next phase of the project will start will we be able to go into the explicit details of what data is required and how it should be protected in different situations. If that makes sense.
Yeah. Yeah, I was hoping we would follow, you know, a privacy impact assessment kind of a flow, which of course has to start with well-defined use cases that you could then determine, you know, what is the authorization that allows this, what are the data elements that allow this, who's involved, who is an intermediary, those kinds of questions. And
right, and I will defer to the to the privacy experts and the legal experts. But my understanding is that the next phase of the project will go into identifying those ethical and policy and legal framework requirements, and maybe pursuant to that, we would go into a security impact analysis because chances are the legal framework may evolve as well.
Joanna, that sounds right. Shane, did you want to comment at all?
This is Laura. I mean, I think that's right, but I think we need to know what the needs are and what the uses are. And so all the points about who's using it, who the players are, what the uses are, you know, all that stuff that goes to the flow of information and where the bottlenecks may be or where the you know, those significant points for policy purposes, that we do need to have included in the use cases. I wouldn't have, you know, the phase one folks worry so much about what they can and can't do because, you know, that's where I think we can apply the legal analysis and say, you know, here's where, consent needs to be given and that sort of thing. But identifying the needs and identifying the way the data is moving and to whom and how is all part of, I think, what would be, need to be included in the use cases. Or scenarios, however they're structured.
Right. So there's another question. So Tiffany, we see your question here. I'm just going to sort of read it out, okay? And I see you have your raise. Did you want to ask a question on the phone, Tiffany? Do you want to try and do that? Otherwise, I'm happy to read out your question.
Can you hear me all right?
Yes, we can hear you just fine, Tiffany.
Oh, good. I've been speaking without being heard for a bit. Okay.
You are heard now, I promise.
Good. Good. So my question is about the boundaries of health with regards to the kinds of data of interest. So I do a fair bit of work with regards to community health, specifically around the relationships between where people live and their health outcomes. And as a result, there's quite a bit of contextual data that I'm very interested in linking to patient data and other more sort of individual level data. And many of these types of data might not as traditionally be thought of as health-related data. So, for example, the income of the census tract in which a person lives, the location of recreation centers and grocery stores in relation to a particular person, environmental health issues such as proximity to hazardous waste sites or air quality issues in a particular area. And so what my question is whether these kinds of issues can be brought into the discussion. Are the social determinants of health of interest? Are we kind of driving these use cases entirely by our kind of research interests or how we could imagine this being used for these various research projects? Or are you kind of locking it into a particular range of data sources and types?
Thanks, Tiffany. So I think we are in the process of scoping out what are all of the sort of myriad of data sources, you know, we think we can sort of encompass as part of this project. One of the things that we plan to do at the next meeting is actually sort of get into this in a little more earnest in terms of, you know, what we're going to consider to be scope and, you know, out of scope for the process. So I'm going to just stop there because I feel like this is something we're still, you know, sort of working through and sorting out. But I would, you know, ask that if any one of the other members of the NORC team wanted to comment now, they should go ahead and comment. Danielle, I don't know if you have any observations or change.
Priscilla, this is Helen with ONC. The one thing I would say about that, when we talk about patient-centered outcomes research, one of the core components that we need to remember is that I think this is something that will be on the table for us, in that patients are, you know, a part of their, you know, the research journey and directing how the research is developed. And I do believe that, you know, that may be an area that we want to consider.
Thanks, Helen. Okay, are there other questions that are coming up? Okay, I think Leslie, you wanted to go ahead and ask a question, so hopefully we can hear you now. Please go ahead.
This is just a housekeeping question. How much of this whole set of proceedings is public? Are we at all considered obligated to keep any of the discussions confidential?
So I think as part of this process, you know, we do want to sort of engage the broader public. So, you know, there will be a working group, there will be a website, there will be a link, people will be given access to the link. So I think it's, you know, as part of this initiative, we want to be transparent, we want input. So, you know, we are not planning to sort of hold anything, you know, behind closed doors, if you will. Helen, did you want to comment any more on sort of the public nature of this? I think we've discussed it internally, and I think the intention is to make this, you know, sort of broadly available.
I'd be happy to. So ONC does want this to be an open and public discussion and very transparent, as Priscilla mentioned. So you know, I think that, you know, one of the things that we will try to do is to communicate the information about the initiative and how to access it. However, we do want to make sure that we're able to complete the work in the short time frame that we have. So to do that, we will have the structure around the meeting like we had today, where there is you know, an appropriate time where we will have the public be able to make their comments. But that's the plan, to keep it open and public.
That's good. That's what I was hoping, and I was concerned when I was starting to hear all these closed websites. So thank you.
Sure. Yeah, and so to clarify, the website, you will not need a password. There will be a link that you will send out, and that link will be accessible to everyone. Okay, so pretty public that way. Right, any other questions on the phone?
I had a question.
Go ahead. Please introduce yourself and go ahead.
Okay, thank you, everyone. This is Karen Rothenberg. This is a question about the moving target of the notice of proposed rulemaking for the common rule, and how this will impact on our thoughts about the legal and ethical framework, and how it will impact on the development of the scenario.
Okay. Jane, do you want to sort of approach this?
Hi, Priscilla. This is Jane. You know, I think obviously we will be thinking about those issues and requirements, and we will be, you know, tracking and monitoring that process and rulemaking as we consider the legal framework. Our goal is for it to be as timely and current as possible and incorporate all available legal guidance as well as ethical principles.
I mean, I think also, you know, at a sort of a more Gestalt level, we want to make sure that what we come up with now, you know, will persist over time. So, you know, as part of sort of developing the legal and ethical framework, you know, we hope the constructs allow sort of flexibility, you know, to sort of accommodate changes that might take place.
Thank you.
Sure. Other questions on the phone? So I'm going to keep the line open for 2 more minutes. If anyone has any questions, please, you know, you are free to sort of speak up. If there's any questions that folks want to pose via the chat, you can certainly send them, and, you know, I can post them to the presenters. Jeremy, I see your hand up. Did you have another question, or are you all?
No, I don't.
Okay.
Hello?
Well, I guess I want to thank everyone then. You know, we appreciate sort of your participation. You know, we hope that the working group calls obviously will allow for sort of a lot more dialogue and, you know, exchange of ideas. As Joanna mentioned, you know, we all coming at this with sort of, you know, a very different sort of vantage. And, you know, we anticipate that there's going to be sort of this healthy tension as we identify the scenarios and the use cases that will sort of emanate from these scenarios. So with that said, I wanted to thank our presenters. I wanted to thank ONC and certainly all of the meeting participants, you know, for joining the call today. The NORC team will be in touch shortly regarding the December 16th meeting. In the interim, if anyone has any questions, please feel free to email Catherine Donaldson. And, you know, we'll either follow up via email or, you know, if you would prefer, we are happy to have a call. With that said, I'm going to wrap up the call and just thank everyone again. Have a good rest of the afternoon.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. This concludes today's conference. Thank you for participating. You may now disconnect.